This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a fantastic start to your Saturday. And as we always say,
if you start your Saturday off with us, you started your Saturday off right.
That's right. And I hope that you had a great week. I know for me, this has been a good week, but it's been a long week. I know I had some sad news. I had two family members who passed this week. First of all, my cousin Marlos, and you're talking about a guy who just had a great spirit about him, who loved life, and he had cancer, but he lost his battle, but I know he's in a better place, but loved to fish. I mean, even when he was sick, he was out there in, I don't know, the Clearwater Lake. I don't know what that big lake is down in Clearwater, Ocala, Florida, but he was always out there fishing on the boat, just living life to the fullest. And also my other cousin, Dap, Daphne Gilberry, I always call the Gap, Dap. And you're talking about just a bright spirit. I mean, every time we would go to the family reunions, I mean, we would kick it with her. I mean, because she laughed, she had a good time, and she loved life. And I know she's in a better place. So it's been a good week, but it's been a long week because of that. But I know I'm just grateful, you know, that I was able to make memories with those two people, that God put those people in my life, you know, just for a reason. And I just pray for my family, the, you know, aunts, uncles, and everybody who was, you know, who are just going through it right now. But I just pray for them. So if you can just lift up my family in your prayers, that will help out a lot.
Yes, that's what it's about, is coming together as family and praying and being there for one another. And so definitely want to send out our condolences to our family.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I always share on the show, what's something that I learned? Because even in spite of, you know, you still got to learn, you still got to move on, and you're always able to encourage. And I know this week, one of the things that I've been looking at is just faith. I've been looking at faith for the month of August, and now it's going into the month of September. And my scripture is that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And that's what I've been looking at probably for the last 2.5 weeks. And it's been really good. And I think about the reason why that scripture is so relevant, because see, God is sovereign. I mean, God has control over everything, his power, his wisdom. I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do. And God is omnipresent. I mean, he has power over everything. And then when our prayers are answered, guess who gets the glory? It's God Almighty.
God
so
Almighty.
That's why this scripture is so relevant to me. And it also is a faith builder, because sometimes my thinking can be limited to a degree. But when I think about immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine, even in my little mind, things that I can't, that I think that, man, that'd be awesome, God has something greater in store for my life. So that's something that I really learned, and not really learned, but have just added to my tool belt, because, you know that, but sometimes you got to revisit things on this journey of life. You know what I mean? And that's what I've been, you know, going through, studying out for the past few weeks. So at this time, we're going to have our Black History Fact of the Day, because football season started. I mean, football kicked off on Thursday night, and it was a great game. I'll talk about that later on. But today, I want to talk about one of the icons and probably one of the most notable NFL players of all time, in my opinion, and that's the GOAT, Jim Brown. So listen to this audio clip and enjoy.
Stopping Jim Brown on an effort like this. He goes over the top and into the end zone for his fifth touchdown of the day.
Have you ever seen an image of strength? Like this. A picture of power. Like this. A portrait of courage. Like this. Ask yourself these questions, because the answers tell you how superhuman this man really was. Ask yourself these questions, because his whole life, that's what Jim Brown was about.
We cannot make exception to these laws just because a person happens to be black or white.
Forcing the world to ask why things were the way they were, and how the rest of us could force change.
This is Jim Brown.
I mean, we have power. You ain't see nobody knocking. Now look at the film. You don't see nobody knocking back.
Most devastating ball carrier in the history of football.
He was born in the South. St. Simon's Island off the coast of Georgia in 1936, and raised in the North, a small town on Long Island, where his legend as an athlete began. Any sport Jim Brown played, he dominated, from football to basketball to track to lacrosse. Even though there's little video of him playing that last one, there were those who said there's never been a better lacrosse player who walked the earth. But football was the game that lifted him to stardom. First at Syracuse University, where he was an All-American. And then in Cleveland with the Browns. His NFL career began in 1957. And he played in the league for 9 years, absolutely dominating the sport and rewriting the record book, setting a new standard for how a running back could rule the game with a combination of speed, force, and will. But Jim Brown was so much more than arguably the greatest football player of all time. That was clear when he retired before he turned 30 to become a new kind of pioneer. A black action star in the movies. A Hollywood leading man who refused to be cornered into how the world cast him. And that was just the start of the legacy he built outside the football field. During the Civil Rights Movement, he was front and center in the fight to earn blacks economic opportunities. And in 1967, he organized the famed Cleveland Summit to support Muhammad Ali and his refusal to serve in Vietnam. Then, in the 1980s, he founded the AmeriCan program to provide outreach to gang members and kids in juvenile detention facilities to give them education, hope, and a chance when no one else would.
We have changed many, many lives. And as I stand here right now, our people can carry out the work. They don't need me. And when I leave here, they can still carry out the work and they don't need me.
Even if he sometimes looked like Superman, Jim Brown wasn't a perfect man. But he was one of the most important figures ever to make a mark in the landscape of sports and society. He changed the game of football with his play. He redefined the limits of what a black man could be in America through his strength, his power, and his courage. He never stopped looking for ways to make the country better for those of us who followed in his footsteps. Rest in power, Jim Brown. We'll keep doing the work in your name.
I love this audio clip because it really highlighted Jim Brown's legacy and his career. You know, I think about how this brother was just blessed to be athletic, but also he took that athleticism and his platform to make a difference by becoming a civil rights advocate. He was an actor when black men were not getting leading roles, and he broke that barrier. So at this time, I would like everyone to really give a warm applause and to lift up one of the GOATs, and that is Jim Brown.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hey, hey, it's time for the tea, and it's Fee the Busy Bee, and I hope you guys are doing great out there. Hey, I'm here to just give a little bit of awareness. I don't know what you guys have been feeling, but lately it seemed like people are coughing more, they're sniffing more, and you're like, what's going on? What's in the air? Well, we know, guys, that the season has changed. So I want to give you guys a little update about the flu and COVID going on. Okay, during the flu and COVID-19 season, look out for overlapping symptoms like fever, cough, fatigue, sore throat, runny, or stuffy nose, and body aches, as the illnesses share many similarities. Making symptoms-based diagnosis is very difficult. To determine which illness you have, you will need a test. You can also contact both illnesses at the same time. Symptoms to watch out for, like we talked about, for both flu and both COVID-19 are the mild to severe of fever and chills. And see, that's another thing. Sometimes you sit around and you just kind of feel like you want to shake or whatever, like you feel like some air kind of came in from somewhere, but really it didn't. That's the chill. So watch out for the fever or the chills. Like I said, the cough. Also shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. And so I think we all know that's a 911 situation. Tiredness, sore throat, runny nose or stuffy nose, muscle aches, headaches, nausea, sometimes feeling like you want to vomit. I think it's more common with this in children that have the flu, where they feel like they just, you know, their stomach is upset, they want to vomit all the time. And most thing is coming with children is diarrhea.
Mm.
So these are just overlapping symptoms that a test can confirm for you. But just look out for these things, guys. And if you're feeling that way, make sure that we stay at home, because I know a lot of times we still want to come out. And that's just not a good idea, okay? Mm-mm. Also, too, on good news, we are talking about Kevin Durant. Yes, Kevin Durant. Not everyone knew about Kevin Durant and the things that he did. Not everyone knew about this until the hospital spoke out about it. The NBA star Kevin Durant quietly paid for a 9-year-old girl's life-saving brain tumor surgery after a brief encounter at an autograph signing. His private act of kindness, kept under wraps for months, has now come to light, leaving fans deeply moved. The kudos go out for Kevin Durant. How he has been able to show a lot of empathy for people. It's just been so amazing. Also, Jaden Smith as someone that's opened up a food restaurant. And he's done this just for a lot of seniors in his community, a lot of homeless people.
Right.
And is it right, Doc, that he, is he, Dr. B, is he paying for it? Is it free food?
Oh, it's like, free food. Yes.
Okay, it's free food.
It's free food. Yes, it's an establishment that he set up. I think he started off with a food truck a few years ago in 2019, but nowadays it's a standalone restaurant where people can come in and get free vegan food, because I think he's a vegan, so I don't think any meat or anything like that. But I just think it's a great story because he's given his heart to the community. He saw a need and he's using his platform to make a difference. And the same way with Kevin Durant, and I love that as well, because no one knew about it. I mean, it wasn't advertised, no one knew, but the hospital just said, hey, we're gonna let the world know what this amazing guy did. And when these guys can use their platform, when they can use their celebrity to help the community, hey, man, that's awesome.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
That's right.
So kudos go out to Kevin Durant and Jaden Smith.
So let's give them some shout-outs. All right.
So next with the NFL starting startup, I know Brill's going to be talking about
that. Is that all the tea? Because you always say that's the tea.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's the tea.
I was waiting on you. Well, anyway, my news, I'm talking about the NFL, everybody. The NFL season started on Thursday night, and I know a lot of people were excited about it. I was. And the Cowboys played the Eagles, and the Cowboys lost, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, so I was happy.
I was rooting for the Cowboys.
No, you were. You were watching it with me like, I want the green team to win.
Oh man!
Look
please.
At she's switching up.
Long Cowboys.
Is not Colorado.
Who was it, the Eagles?
It was the Eagles.
Oh yeah, because of the black quarterback.
See, I told you.
What's his name?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay, Jalen Hurts.
But the Cowboys
okay.
have the black quarterback, Dak Prescott. So.
See, you know I'm mixed up because when we were talking about Jalen Smith, I thought we were talking about Jalen Hurts.
Oh no, Jaden Smith is Will Smith's son, who did that.
Oh, that's
yes,
awesome.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Will Smith's son who has the restaurant in L.A.
Okay.
But anyway, the Eagles beat the Chargers 24-20. I mean, it was a good game. But one of the things that I want to talk about is that the first 6 seconds of the game, I don't know if you all saw it, when Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. So it was a big deal, and he got ejected. And I, when I saw it,
he
I was like, he spit on him. But the deal about it is, from the interview, I guess football players spit. And I guess, on the ground, before they get ready to snap, they might spit on the grass or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think he thought he was spitting at him. So so he spit back. Yeah, that's what he said. So, you know what I mean? But I just hated to see, especially black brothers doing that on each other. I mean,
right.
toward each other. I think that was the thing.
And it wasn't even toward each other. So, I mean, that's crazy.
Right. So, but that football season has started. I know the Falcons, they play tomorrow. A lot of people are excited about that. Hey, I'm like, I just hope they have a good season. You know what I mean? That's my thing. And also the Chargers played the Chiefs, and the Chargers beat the Chiefs. And I know I thought the Chiefs was going to come back like they always do, but the Chargers won last night 27-21. So that's my NFL news. And when we talk about political corner, man, I'm taking a little hiatus from that
Why?
Stuff. There's so much going on. I mean, he's talking about sending troops into Chicago. I mean, send them to some of the other states. I mean,
A lot of the citizens were definitely against it.
Right. You know what I mean? Because I think it's just a step toward martial law. And like I say, I love history. I mean, you look at some of the dictators in the past, and those were the things they started doing to establish complete rule. So this is something that we got to think about. But I'm not going to dive deep up into that this morning because that might be a whole nother show. But I just wanted to let you all know about the NFL and also my political view that, hey, I'm taking a little hiatus, but I will kind of keep you all informed. So
wow,
we're going to
no more news. We're not going to get the trending news.
Yeah, you're going to get it. Just not today. Because I took a week off. It was our anniversary. And that's what we're going to be talking about this
morning.
Well,
I mean, just in the U.S. alone, we just added 22,000 jobs.
I mean, that's not
in
that
August,
that's not that high from a standard, but
I know. I mean, it slowed down in the labor market,
right.
But at least we've added that.
Right.
So that's pretty cool news.
Yeah. So at this time, we're going to be talking about part two of our anniversary show, Anniversary Journey. And what happened? We got a lot of questions from a lot of our listeners about different things that we talked about. So we're going to go in a little bit more detail with those things on the show. And I know I'm looking forward to it. I mean, whenever I can talk about my wife or talk about our journey as a married couple, it just inspires me anyway.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, just lessons learned. That's life. So
that's life. So we're going to come back after the break. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
Check it out. Baby, relax, sit back and chill. Yeah. Give me a second and let me tell you how I feel. It's all around town, you've been stepping out. Running your mouth about what make you think I wouldn't find out. Wasn't I there for you, truly care for you? Maybe my love was just too much. Could have had a good now, love is gone. Now it's back to your head with the 54-11s on. Does he lace you with the fine?
Does he? Thank you. that you was all about. But I'm having doubts, cause I see you trying to play me out. And when I brought my car to crib with beef, didn't I represent you when I caught him in the streets? So let me get the keys to the Lex, and then my checks, and then my hang up baguettes around your neck, babe.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Hey, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397. Or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
It's just one of those jams you wanna just lay back and just kick it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't hear me though. Peep this.
Every man wants a woman where him and her can just go hang, just the two of them alone. Every man wants a
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee, and this is Real Talk. And I hope that you are having an enjoyable time hanging out with us this morning. And today we're going to have a good show. We're going to be talking about different things that we have learned over our married journey over the last 30 years. I know last week we had a show and we kind of highlighted, you know, a few things where, you know, we had questions kind of like different things that we would ask ourselves. But then what ended up happening, we received a lot of emails and some text messages about different things that we might have talked about that we probably need to explain a little bit more. So right now, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about it. But getting back to the songs that were played, the first songs were by Rough Ends and It's No More. I mean, that's a song that Felicia and I, we listen to a lot that we like jamming to. And then the second song is by Escape. And I know a lot of you all heard of that song before, and it's just kicking it. And I remember when Felicia and I, we were newly married, I think we were even dating, when that song came out, and it, you know, we listened to it all the time. I mean, because it was just a jam that we just wanted to groove to. So those are the two songs that were played. So now let's talk about different things in our marriage journey. So one of the things that I want to talk about is someone had emailed Felicia and I and had asked the question about what surprised you most about your marriage. You know, like when you first got married, what was one of the things that surprised you the most? So Fee the Busy Bee, do you want to take a shot at that question? Like if you could say, what's one thing? Okay, I'll do it. I think the thing that surprised me the most is that marriage wasn't a honeymoon. Okay, you know that, you know, you see these movies on TV and you see different things in Hollywood and they portray marriage just like, oh man, you get married, you on his honeymoon for 24/7, you're having sexual relationships and everything is fine, you know, but that's not the truth. I mean, I think you do have a honeymoon phase, definitely, because, you know, you can't do no wrong because you're in love. I mean, that's your boo and y'all together. But then probably what, after a month, hey, some issues come in. I mean, different things that Felicia liked that I didn't like and different things that I liked that she didn't like. And right. Then we're staying together because we didn't get married where, you know, we had our own places and then we lived together for 6 months and then we got married. No, we didn't live together at all. It was kind of like everything was new. So when you talk about some of the surprises, I mean, there's a lot of different things, but I think the biggest thing that things weren't going to be perfect and that honeymoon phase.
Right. And I think too, sometimes when we fight to get married or want to get married, we think about the wedding and that's it. Mm-hmm. And how that's going to feel. Ooh, I just want to get married. And we don't think about the actual marriage. Mm. We think about the ceremony.
So you think about the wedding.
Right.
And
so
okay.
I think that's the problem. And I think, too, also, when you live with someone, that's when you really get to know them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you do it the right way, as far as, well, I can't say the right way. I would just say the way we did it.
Right.
Because, that, you know, I don't want to say that, but I think the way we did it was we were in a pure relationship before we got married, and we never lived together. So then we got together. It was like, ooh, my goodness. You know what I mean? It was a lot of stuff that came out. But some people live together before they get married. Mm-hmm. And so some things are not really a shocker as far as,
right.
You know what I mean, being together and,
right.
You know.
Because they've been together for so long.
Because they had been together for a while. And so that's not really a shocker. So some people, they don't go through that. But I think you still are going to go through those ups and downs where you're still really trying to get to know each other.
Right.
Because marriage is a commitment.
Right.
And
not
dating
a contract.
And shacking is not. You can always get up and move, but hopefully marriage is forever. So you'll want to stick it in and work it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to ask the next question that,
okay.
That a listener had?
The next question is, how do you keep communication strong?
Okay. So do you want to answer that one or?
We do weekly check-ins, nothing fancy. Just what went well for us for the week. We just really touch base, you know, and we always communicate. It's nothing that we do that we don't communicate.
Right.
Like in the morning, you know, I'm really good at saying, hey, you know, I don't say Dr. B. I just be like, hey, honey, what's going on in your day? Mm-hmm. What do you have going on?
Right,
because we run businesses. We're entrepreneurs. And so I still want to know what's going on. I want to know if he's going to be in the office. I want to know if he's going to be, you know, running around doing some errands, or if he's going to have to work in the business that day, or, mm-hmm. you know, as far as like driving. So what's going to be our day? What is it going to be like? And what do you need from me?
Mm.
And so we always try to communicate those things. And I think definitely when it's something funky in the air, where you know something ain't right, or you said something that went right, or, you know, whatever, definitely you want to talk about those things. So I think communication is really the key, and that's what makes you strong, that you're not avoiding conflict, and you're really just talking about your day-to-day stuff with each other.
Yeah, I think I ditto everything that Feed a Busy Bee said. And I think for young couples, I mean, being a modern age, I think sometimes you just got to put those phones away, because I know even with us, sometimes we could be talking, but those phones could still kind of get our attention and stop the focus from being on each other, as opposed to being on the phone. So especially for younger couples, especially if you're young, where you grew up with a cell phone 24/7, I think that's something that you really have to watch. When you do have that time where you need to communicate about something, especially something that's dire, you know, put those phones up and focus on that person. And then also, when that person is talking, now it's different if y'all just having pillow talk. You know, your mind might be a little distracted, but if someone's talking about something serious, and this is what I had to learn, make sure you give that person your undivided attention.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't think about the football game. Don't try to, hey, okay, I hear you right now, let me go. I mean, focus on that person. And also, when it comes to communication, we can't try to fix each other sometimes when we want to communicate.
Right.
Let's say if Alicia wants to talk to me about something, I can't be so quick to want to fix what she's sharing. Because sometimes with communication, that person just might need, and you know,
an ear.
Listen. You know, they just might need an ear. They just might need to vent. But as a man, sometimes we want to fix it. You know, like, hey, what about this? What about this? And I think that's one thing I learned. Sometimes I just listen. And I remember sometimes Alicia be like, why ain't you saying that? Sometimes I'm listening because I want to soak it all in. Not when I'm being arrogant or nothing like that, but sometimes I just want to listen to see what you're going through instead of trying to fix it. And then if she asks me my opinion, and then I can, you know, freely give, but not try to jump to conclusions before that situation.
Right. And I think a great funny example is, I remember Braille would be trying to talk to me, and if I was on my phone or watching TV, I didn't hear nothing he had to say. And it would really tick him off, because he, you know, he might come in, you know, from his office upstairs or something, and just interject and ask me something. And then my whole thing would be, well, I'm not in the mood for that. My mindset's somewhere else. Yeah, like I can't deal with that right now. I'll talk to you about that later. And I had to learn how I had to really stop doing that. Because what it was I didn't want him interrupting what I was doing, which was nothing. I was probably looking at TikTok or, you know, looking at a show or whatever that I couldn't pause, or, you know, watch another time or whatever. So I think for me, that was like, I think I was more that person that had the phone. I mean, what do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not really focusing.
But then too, I think I got to the point when I know that she was in that space, I say, is this a good time? Or I'll just come in there and check, and then I'll leave. And then it's kind of cool, because you'd be like, honey, I can turn the TV. So that kind of, it was almost like reverse psychology almost, because she understood that, hey, I might want to spend some time, but if I see her in that TV, because I don't want to have to deal with pulling teeth and, you know, I'm disturbing your peace and all this kind of stuff. So she'll say, no, honey, we could turn, we could watch something else. Because I know when she's in those shows, she's in that's her peaceful ear, and I don't want to interrupt that. I can go do something else. But I think that's kind of like a little trick too that we can use, like, okay, I don't want to interrupt you, I can go in the kitchen, and then be like, no honey, stay here, I can turn.
Yeah. And it's not even an argument, he's right. And but I think now I'm just trained though, because he'd be like, man, we gotta look at that, I don't want to look at that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to look at no football right now, you know. So now what I do is, when he come to bed and we ready to kind of settle down and not go to sleep or whatever, I just give him the remote control.
Yeah.
And it just solves the problem.
It does.
So sometimes you guys got a problem with the TV, and, you know, I don't want to watch that show, you want to watch this show, somebody got to give in.
And then the cool thing about it, if it's late at night, I'm gonna be sleeping 10 minutes anyway, so she knows my nature, because I'll be asleep. We sitting there watching something.
If he lay his head to the pillow, honey, he out. So I'm like, let me give him about 15, 20 minutes.
For 15 minutes, and I can watch my other shows. All right, Sophie, let me ask you a question. Another a viewer had actually wanted to ask you a question. Is how do you fight fair? You know what I'm saying? How do you fight fair? You know, when you have a relationship issue, how do you fight fair? Or do you want to answer that?
I don't even see that question.
I mean, it's there, but I'm just, it's number four.
Are you skipping around or something?
Mm-hmm. It's number four.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see it. Mm-hmm. How do I fight fair?
Mm-hmm.
I think, let's see, exactly, instead of you never help or I try, I feel overwhelmed, can you step in? And research proves using I statements lowers defensiveness.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of reading what's on here as far as statistics, as far as fighting fair. We had to learn not to attack each other, but the issue. Am I on the right thing?
Yeah, you're on I think I can I add on to what you're
saying?
Well,
why don't you just say that? Because that's something you wrote. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we kind of go up through right now. Just answer the question. You don't have to look at what's on the sheet.
Oh, because you skipped around, so I'm trying to find out where you are. Okay.
No, I was just saying when you fight fair.
See,
you know,
we fighting them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm like, she's trying to look at the sheet. Just answer the question.
He's skipping all around. What's my personality? I like.
Right, but what I'm saying, I'm just asking
steadiness.
The question.
If it's one, I want to be on one. If it's two, I want to be on two. He done jumped the dog.
But just answer the question. It's just a simple question.
See what
how
I'm saying?
Fight
this
fair?
Is how this is how you fight, right?
Right.
Okay, so now how we gonna work it out?
First of all, okay, this is some of the things that you can do to fight fair. Okay, don't use when you talk about you. Don't use things like you, all right? Talk about how it made you feel. Like, you know, let's say if Felicia hurt me from this situation, I might say, you always did that. Now, that's not good. That's not how you fight fair.
You never use always.
But you fight fair by saying, I felt like this when you did this. So you're talking about your own feelings, all right? And you're using emotion words. You're not, you're not just going off out of anger. You're
right.
Talking about how it made you feel as opposed to what that person did to you. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot, especially young marriages, even older marriages, you know, because we have to go through it sometimes, not do the blanket statement like you always do this or you never do this. Don't never use those type of words. Just focus on that situation.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Burrell, in that moment, how you made me feel was that I didn't know what I was talking about.
You got to talk to the microphone.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. In that moment, I just felt like I didn't know what I was doing because it wasn't on the number that I thought we should have been on.
Okay.
So it made me feel, you know, I mean, I don't know, making something up. I didn't feel nothing. But
again,
that's
too,
just an example,
And then fighting fair, if she said that, like how she felt, then I will say, okay, honey, I am sorry, you know, for making you feel that way. You know, I'm not talking about, I'm sorry, but. See, when you throw that butt in there,
That's what I like to do. I like to say, I'm sorry, but.
You know, that's when that get in. Because basically what you're saying, I'm sorry, but it's because of you when you throw that butt in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you are sorry, don't use that butt. Take that butt out. And sometimes you got to own it. Because sometimes it's hard not to say but. I'm telling you, especially if you feel like somebody did something and they hurt your feelings, and it's easy, and you responded because of what they did, and
right.
It's easy not to use but.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's hard not to
hard
use
not
but.
To use but.
But you gotta understand, when you put that but in there, it nullifies everything that you said.
Mm-hmm.
When you say but, it nullifies your apology. It nullifies, I'm sorry, whatever you're doing to respond.
Just like in a sentence.
It
anything
takes it
before
away.
That, it takes it away.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So, and I think, too, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think you just got to go into the conversation, you know, knowing about yourself, like using the I statement, but also, too, just coming in willing to look at the other person's perspective.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have a question for me, Fee the Busy Bee?
No, I'm sorry, but see, my computer keeps going out after a certain time. That's a lot of times why I'm not, mine won't stay.
You can
like
just answer, tell me a question, I'll answer it.
Okay,
no
so
matter
let
what,
me go back up
no
to,
matter what question it is.
Okay, so I'm going to go up to, question three. What about when you felt out of sync? Like, how do you deal with that? And what would be an example of how you felt out of sync?
Well, when you just feel like you're not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
When you
see right here, it's like question 15 and question 3. That's why I'm confused, too.
But out of sync.
But you see what I'm saying with that question, though? Like, what is it that will make you feel out of sync? And then what do you do about it when you feel that way?
I think when I feel like Felicia and I aren't on the same page, because that happens, you know, it happens.
Kind of like with these questions.
Right, with these questions. But like I said, but let's say, you know, going a little deeper, let's say if we were in a serious situation, an argument or something, mm-hmm. and we were out of sync. I think sometimes, I know for me, I have to kind of step away from the situation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. Like, I love going out on prayer walks. I love walking. And sometimes I just got to step away and just talk to God about what's going on. And then when I finally feel like I got a little grasp on it. And then, you know, Felicia and I will have a conversation about it. You know, we might ask each other, okay, honey, I feel like we're not connecting. And most of the time, to be honest, it's mainly feet. You know, because, you know, I know it, but she's the one who kind of brings it to the table. Like, honey, what are you feeling? You know, are we on the same sheet? Because we understand that in order to move in a positive direction, we have to be on the same sheet of music.
Right.
So if she's over here, I'm over here, we have to find a way to bring that thing together. And it takes a lot of humility at times. It takes a lot of mm-hmm. empathy at times. And also it takes a lot of just listening and just understanding how that other person's feeling. And then just figuring out a plan to make it right. Like, for instance, we might, after we talk, we might pray together. We might just say, let's have dinner together. We can just talk, or let's go walking. You know, we'll, you know, like when the weather's nice, we do a lot of walking together. And usually at that time, it's a bonding time for us. But there's going to be times in your relationship when you feel that this person's over here and y'all just not close, but you have to really fight for that. Because my thing is, as long as the devil can keep you apart like that, it's room for sin to get in the middle.
That's right.
And sometimes that sin might be impurity. Sometimes the sin might be just anger and emotions,
yeah,
or just
hatred.
Bitterness and mm-hmm. hatred. I mean, those things can come very quickly in a relationship. So you got to make sure that you understand that those are red flags. And I'm not saying 911, but what I'm saying, those little things can lead to other things if you mm-hmm. don't deal with that.
And I think the most important thing, too, is knowing your partner.
Right.
Like, you know, if you know one person is a sufferer and one person's not, so the person who's not a sufferer needs to go and initiate with the person that is a sufferer and be like, hey, I noticed you've been walking around like you pretty much my roommate and not my husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on? We have little different things that we know they do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Braille might be cooking in the kitchen, something he had the TV on. But Bro's not cooking. He just in the other room with the TV on chilling. And we kind of had a disagreement and it really wasn't resolved. Then he's still not resolved because he's still separate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can have like little things that will come up that you know is kind of out of the order or out of the way you guys do things.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you can know, too, something is wrong. But if that person's the stuffer, the other person who's not the stuffer needs to initiate and talk about what's going on.
Right. Because I think that's so true. I mean, you have to know each other. You have to know each other. All right. So another question. And I'll ask you, Felicia, this
what
is
number
question,
are you on?
Question number seven.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. How do you support each other's dreams?
Man, this is a good one. I think how you support each other is, first of all, you know, really, you know, being there, listening to all the details of things. Like, I'm the type of person, I want to have details. Like, when Braille brings me something, I'm like, okay, this sounds great, but what are the details? Like, what are you going to have? What are the steps to get to this point? You know, how long do you think you're going to get to a point where this is going to make you money? How much money is it going to take to start this? Like, I'm the type of person where I always want to know the details of things. And so that's how I support, by trying to make sure, you know, what's going on. Because Braille, he'll think of something, but it might not be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so I want to kind of help him with that part of it. So I think that's how I support. And then also trying to figure out what ways I can help him.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, do I need to take money from this thing that I've done and made money from? Because a lot of times with different ventures of business that we do, if we make money from that, we try to figure out how to reinvest it in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we talk about, okay, well, then we'll take this money that you made over here, Felicia, for your consulting, and why don't we invest it over here for me to do this new business?
Right.
And then we'd be like, oh, okay, so let's do it that way. So we support each other by just getting the details and by wanting him to win. So what can I do to make him win?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, you know, money to help him be supportive, if it's some kind of way I can work with him in the business, then that's what we can do to make sure that we support each other. So everything we do is toward a goal, if I should say.
Right.
To help out whatever situation that we need to be helped in.
Mm-hmm.
To help to, grab an audience or to, you know, whether it's, you know, helping him with his mental health workshops, whatever it is that he is doing at the time that I can support him and help him. Because I feel like Braille has been very, very supportive of me. When I come to him with ideas and, you know, he kind of look at me like I'm crazy sometimes, but he really gets behind me and really makes sure and support me, not even just with listening and getting all the details ironed out, because he can be that detailed person for me, because sometimes when you're the dreamer, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helps me to break down the details and figure out what money is needed and, you know, how he can bag me or how he can support me physically in the situation.
Right. Okay.
And I think you really do great, amazing at that. And I really am grateful. And not just in business, but just in life.
In life, period.
You know, like when my mother was sick, he was there to support me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through our journeys in marriage, you know, he's been there to support me. Mm-hmm. When someone can stick with you and the plan is not the same and the plan has changed, that's a person that loves you and are willing to be there to support you.
Wow. Well, I think you hit that on the nail on the head. I don't have to say nothing about that one.
Okay.
Well, great job. Do you have a question for me or do you want me to answer a question myself?
I think we talked about that. I think, what is the biggest myth of marriage? I think you can talk about that because you're a counselor.
Well, I think the myth is kind of like we said earlier, kind of like the second or third question, is that I think a lot of people think that marriage is this fairy tale. I think a lot of women think that. I think a lot
you
of women.
You don't think men think it?
No, I said a lot of women.
Okay.
I said a lot of
most
women.
Most women right. than
I think,
men.
I think
okay.
More women than men think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think more men probably really don't understand. I think they're just kind of happy to be married if they made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a lot of women seem like when they marry, they have everything kind of laid out. A lot of women when they get married. I know especially a lot of my clients, they kind of have the plan, man. They have the plan. And most of the time the husband, he's like, man, it was time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's the dream. You know, he
right.
might want kids or, you know, he might have a job or whatever, but that's the plan. But I think a lot of times people are caught up in a fairy tale, like everything is going to be perfect and mm-hmm. I'm going to have my 3.2 kids. You know, that's what the statistics say.
States, yeah.
You know, and I'm going to live in this middle class house with a white picket fence and I'm going to have a 9-to-5 job, but I'm not going to have any health issues or any challenges. And I think that's a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even with Felicia and I think in our, what, let me see, 2004, we were only married 9 years when we had that incident, you know, when your mom got hurt and our mm-hmm. life changed dramatically.
Dramatically.
So we had situations that take that little, turn that little dream upside down and you have to learn how to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the young people, you know, when they ask me about marriage, I'm like, man, you will have challenges, but you have to make a serious commitment to your wedding vow. And understand it's better or worse.
Yep.
That you cannot have any back doors in your relationship. You know, like some people, they already talk about divorce once they get married. Like, what happened if we X, Y, and Z? I mean, and you hadn't even started the race yet, but that's already something that you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think those are some of the myths that a lot of people come into relationships with. And also understanding that marriage is not easy. I think
right.
so many people think that way, that marriage is easy. I love this person and love conquers all. Love is awesome, but love does not conquer all. I mean, now truly biblical love conquers all because it's broken down in different facets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes love don't pay the bills. If you got somebody that's super
right.
lazy who doesn't want to work, sometimes love, you know what I'm saying, does not help you if you're going through a physical challenge if someone doesn't want to be there with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
you're the only one fighting for the marriage.
Right.
Well, let's talk about something deeper. What about impurity? What
yeah.
if your spouse is just, you know, sensationalized on watching porn all
right.
the time? Or he's out in the streets. He goes to the club and
yeah.
he's sleeping with, you know, everybody that want to throw it to him.
Wow.
Like, I mean, some people have some, I mean, to me, that's a real issue.
Right.
Like, bro, I'm trying to like you now, let alone love you, and you doing
all this.
You have
all of this stuff going on.
And then I'm supposed to be connected and devoted to my vows, but you out here,
you
know, making it rain with your pepper.
Like
I
say, it goes both ways, because you got some women who doing the same thing.
Most men than women. Like you tried to say earlier with the dreams. Most men than women.
I will say more men according to the data.
So what's up with that? Like that, to me, like that's, you know what I mean? That's like tearing up the foundation.
Right.
That's taking away the, not even a doggone a dream. That's taking away a promise and a vow that you said.
Right.
That you would be, you know, pure in our relationship, our marriage, and you would not bring anybody into our marriage bed. Like, yeah. That's why you get married.
Yeah, but a lot of people these days, too, they feel like that's okay. I mean, just think how many people you see on TV. They okay with their husband going out. I know guys who feel like they wives don't even care if they go out to stuff like that. You know, long as they don't hang out all the time or bring it home. You know, so that's something I think that's, you know, do I condone it? No, that's not my thing. But what I am saying that people are going through those situations. That's something that you and your spouse got to figure out. Now, to me, biblically, you shouldn't be doing those type of things, because
right.
It will hinder your relationship. You can't bring all of this up. I mean, I saw this one show a couple.
You can't bring all this into the marriage.
You can't bring all of this into the marriage, because I think we saw a show with Kirk Franklin and
The King's Men.
Right.
And, the King's
and one guy said he had two wives or something like that. He mm-hmm. bring people into the relationship.
Yep.
You know, and they were trying to figure that out. And then somebody was trying to justify it, I thought. You know, like, okay, this is okay.
Well, he wasn't trying to justify. He's like, that's my appetite. And then he goes to say, my woman is okay with it.
Yeah. So
she suggested it to me. I'm like, wow.
Right.
But then more things came out, like his woman was actually bisexual.
Oh, okay.
So then it made sense. Like, she want to be with a man, but she really want to be with a woman.
Oh, she want to be with both.
Yeah, so okay, then, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it made a little bit more sense. But I think, you know, then you had on the other stream where it was Tyrese. I know we're getting off the subject, guys, but it really is what we're talking about. But then you got to Tyrese where he was more like, you know, shoot, I done been there, man, and I thought I had to sleep with everybody. He said, but then I realized, man, what am I doing?
Right. You're putting yourself in harm's way.
Yeah, he said, I'm putting myself in harm's way.
But in my perspective, my journey, like I say, people can choose the route to take. You want to have a pure relationship in your marriage. You don't want to bring all of those things home.
And here's the deal. If you don't want to be pure and be with that one person, then don't get married.
Yeah, don't get married.
I mean, that's my thing. Don't even get married.
If you want to run the streets, if you want, you know, to live that life, don't get married.
Like the guy when we was downtown. Because
yeah.
Me and Braille went through memory lane. He took me, because we're going out of town for our anniversary. But my anniversary day, he took us down memory lane. Because we used to live downtown to see the skyline. So we went and rented Airbnb a couple of days ago, so we could, you know, see the skyline at night in the morning, like we used to at our old apartment, the first apartment, well, maybe the third apartment we had.
No, the first one. That's when we first got married.
It was the first apartment we had?
You stayed on the third floor,
okay.
Right.
Okay, we had moved floors. That's why I keep thinking
no,
it's not the first apartment.
It was the first one.
Really?
It was the first
okay,
one.
So the first apartment that we had when we got married. So he took me down memory lane and stuff like that. We went down by the church. We got married. You know, all this little stuff we did to go down memory lane.
Steak and Shake?
Yeah, we went to Steak and Shake where asked me to be his...
Well, that's what I said. I liked you.
Oh, that's what he told me. He
and
liked
then,
me.
Then by Fulton Stadium, which is now was Truist Park. We went by there.
Where he asked me to be his girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
Through a Cracker Jack box, through a prize.
Yeah, but then it was on the big screen.
That Jennifer Goodwin did, and then he had it on the big screen.
Right.
Will you be my girlfriend?
And shout out to Letitia, Letitia Elder, because she...
Yeah, she introduced us, how we met each other.
Right.
Then thank God for Jennifer for doing all these crazy things that Burrell wanted her to do.
My ride right there, ride or die, because she would help a brother
Jennifer
out
Goodwin.
Big time. So shout out to Jennifer Goodwin. So it was great. But anyway, what Felicia was saying with that store, where we stayed, where the Airbnb was a high rise, and it overlooked the city. And it was a lot of single people. We kept seeing, like, people everywhere.
It was like, who lives here? Is he college students or whatever?
But you know, because
this place is expensive. Like, what's going on?
So
like,
we asked one guy. He was in the elevator with us. And Felicia was saying, you know, talking to him. And then she said, are you single or married? He said, man, no, I'm single. I'm
gonna be single.
but he understood his mission. He was like, hey, I'm out here doing my thing. I don't have time for no wife. I don't want to be in one commitment. Hey, I'm single and I'm loving it. That was his mindset. So going back to what you said earlier.
Yeah, if you don't want to do what's right and be pure in a relationship and love that one person, then you don't need to get married.
Yeah, don't get married. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Don't have the pressure. Don't think, oh, society tells me this is what I need to do. If that's not who you are and what you do and how you roll, then don't do it.
Right.
Because you're really going to affect the other person's life, and that's not fair to them.
If you have kids involved, you're going to affect them.
Yeah, because life is short.
Effect.
Exactly.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left for you to Busy Bee. So any more questions?
What number you want?
Okay, it could be anything.
How do you keep your romance alive?
Oh, that's the one I have for you to answer.
No, you need to answer it. Because basically, when I got sick, that was a challenge for us.
Yes.
So how do you answer that?
Well,
I mean, it's gotten better, but it was, you know, it was a struggle.
The love making, the bam bam.
Yeah, and even being motivated.
Bam, bam,
then I'm sick, then plus I'm going through menopause.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
A lot going on now.
And when you got the stuff I have, I don't like to speak on because I believe God is going to heal me.
Yes.
It's like it makes you tired.
Yeah.
You know, you have no energy.
Yeah.
So. It was a lot.
It's a lot. I think being patient.
I had to wham bam.
Yeah, being patient and then finding other ways to please each other. I think that was a big thing because sometimes we know we can't do that right then, but maybe there's alternative things you can do
I think too, understanding my body. Like when I realized that even though Burrell is a morning person, I'm a night person when it comes to interaction sexually. But it's like I had to realize too, but when I feel better in the morning.
Yeah.
So I just need to give in and just do it in the morning.
Amen. Because at night, I'm serious. And then, guys.
Because he's going to be asleep. So then that was my thing. Like, joke asleep. I'm good.
And he joke asleep. It don't matter. I'm telling you, I'm old. I hit my 50s now. So at certain times of the day, when Felicia at like 11:30, because she's a night out, 12 want to give. Sometimes I might say, babe, can we just take a rain check? Let's hook up at 6 in the morning. You know what I mean? But you, like she said, learning each other's bodies.
Yeah.
And I wish we could harp on this more, but it's almost time for us to.
Yeah, but keep that romance alive. You guys are married. Keep the humor and the laughter. Burrell keeps me laughing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the only reason why he got me, because he was so funny.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. With some more stuff too.
But no, you had stuff going on. Like you had a car, you had a job,
good
had
attitude. I was right with God. I want a whole lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, baby. I mean, you had some stuff going on for you. You know what I'm saying? But that humor helped a lot.
Oh yeah, I definitely have to laugh.
Yeah, because sometimes you just don't like each other.
Yeah, you don't. And I tell everybody that you're not gonna like each other all the time, and it's okay.
Right, and it's okay.
Just don't let it last too long, because we don't like each other for like 3 or 4 days, a week.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. A month, shoot. That's when, setting yourself up. Well, Feed a Busy Bee, this has been a great show.
Yes, it has.
And my quote of the day is by Ann Lander. She said, sensual, kind of like what we're talking about, sensual pleasures have the fleeting brilliance of a comet. A happy marriage has the tranquility of a lonely sunset. And basically what that means in a nutshell, sometimes the sexual pleasure can come bam, 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 and it feels good. And that's awesome. But again, nothing helps your marriage rather than your peace. Because you can do that, but if you're mad at each other, upset at each other 24/7, that doesn't do anything for you. But peace in a relationship is powerful.
It's powerful.
All right. Well, my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And he is his name, and I'm Feed the Busy Bee.
And we are busying out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee the Busy Bee on TikTok and Instagram.